Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
America. Good day to our friends around the world. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Mark Babbitt's here, too. Mark is one of the newer members of our Brain Trust, the CEO and the founder of U-Turn, the co-author of A World Gone Social, How Companies Must Adapt to Survive. Where have you heard that before, my friends? Mark Babbitt, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. You know, and congratulations again on the book. I know it's doing well. A World Gone Social, How Companies Must Adapt to Survive, co-authored by Ted Koyne. Did I say his name right?
Perfectly.
All right. So, okay, Mark, when I first started contemplating social media as a strategy, as a body of work, as a whole universe, so to speak. We were using it before we knew what to call it, right? 10 or more years ago. But probably, I'm going to say about 6 or 7 years ago, we started really calling it social media, which I never liked that term for business. I like it all right for individuals, but I don't like the term for business because it doesn't say what it really is, which is developing customer communities. But even in those days, even while I was telling people to be skeptical of it, meaning don't think that it's going to save your business this week or this month, maybe not even this year, I was also telling them that one thing I believed, and that is that this could become the best thing to happen to small business, because it gives us advantages of getting real with customers that big businesses don't have. What do you think?
Well, that's absolutely true. In A World Gone Social, we refer to social media as the great equalizer. It allows us to compete with the big boys. It no longer matters if you have the deepest pockets or the most employees or the most global offices. All that matters is, are we listening to our customers? Are we thinking before we react? And are we doing the right thing by them? And you can do that out of your garage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the thing is, one of the things that I talk about a lot on the show and have been for all these years now, and that I talk about in my new book, Mark, and that is that more and more customers are following what John Nesbitt told us 30-plus years ago. The more high-tech people have, the more high-touch they will want. And I believe in the 21st century, in the age of the customer, in a world gone social, I believe that means that they want more humanity. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head, Jim. The more we are listened to, the more we expect to be listened to, right? The more we engage with the brands that are building the products we're buying, the more we expect from them. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, especially for customers, the expectations have changed dramatically. It used to be, we would just settle for being on hold for 45 minutes when we talked to the call center.
That's right.
And it was okay to, you know, we would tolerate, even on a chat line, we would tolerate canned, copy and pasted responses. Now that's just not.
Well, see, those were manipulations. In those days, that's all a whole manipulation regime. The truth is, Mark, that we humans became accustomed to and actually allowed to happen to us for probably close to 100 years. Almost the entire 20th century was about manipulation, wasn't it?
Well, here's what the industrial age did for us, Jim. It allowed us to be efficient. That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else was actually a casualty, including humanity. We stopped talking. We stopped conversing. We stopped listening. And we stopped reacting to a potentially bad situation. Even the biggest and the best companies sometimes would go, look, we're never going to make that customer happy. What kind of damage can he do? Let's move along. Let's go replace him or
right.
her with 10 more customers. Mm-hmm. Right? We'll just go buy another Adam and Johnny Carson show, and we're going to be good here.
Well, here's another thing. they could actually say, where else are they going to go? Because you could look around the landscape in those days and say, okay, they got two other options besides my company, and I know what they're all the other what both of those other companies offer. So my deals, even though we may manipulate people, we may run roughshod over them, we may not give them as many choices, we're still a little bit better than those guys. So where else are they going to go? Now, people don't, you know, you go on Google, Amazon will give you 139 places to find something.
Well, and Jim, you know, the biggest differentiator there is often customer service.
Yeah.
I mean, look how big Amazon is. Now, Amazon is not exactly, I mean, with all the big data stuff they're doing,
yeah.
I'm not sure I'm a fan. But
yeah.
When I call Amazon, as big as they are, it takes me an average of about 7 seconds to get a real human being, and mm-hmm. the first thing they do is tell me their name first, their first
right.
name first.
Right.
Right? Mega corporation. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, look back at what just happened to, say, United Airlines when the air traffic control mm-hmm. explosion happened. Right? People were on hold with United Airlines for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And most of them just gave up. And in the old days, people would go, well, it's United, it's
right.
you know, the big airline, I don't have any choice. Well, now, those same people can go to JetBlue
yep.
and ask them a question on Twitter and get an answer in seconds. Or Virgin American, same thing, right? Same thing with our big banks that used to put us on hold forever
right.
and ever. And
these
now.
And these are, as you said, and this is one of the foundational elements of my new book, these are their expectations. Not, and this is why, and I know you're doing this too, is I keep telling business owners, you know what, it doesn't matter what you want, it doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what you have, it doesn't, none of that matters. What matters is, and it doesn't even matter what you think you know about what your customers want. If you don't know what their expectations are of you, you're going to become irrelevant. What do you think?
Well, Jim, you just described what we used to think of as leadership, though, right? We were trained. Some of us older guys, we were trained, business school, mentors,
yep.
parents. We were trained to be autocratic, decisive,
mm-hmm.
and brazen, right? I mean, here's our product. We're going to tell you what you like about our product, and if you don't like it, we're just going to go find somebody else who does,
mm-hmm.
right? That's how leadership works.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's so different. We have to be a little empathetic. We have to be willing to listen. We have to put some of ourselves out there.
Give us a website, Mark.
AWorldGoneSocial.com.
Well, come back. You got stories to tell us, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
He's gonna share some of his some great stories that will help you understand more about how to go social. Not mad, but social. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity high-performance HR and business solutions, from recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, Call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame, and I wrote this book for you. Welcome back, 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I am a small business advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Mark Babbitt is our guest, our friend and Brain Trust member, CEO and founder of U-Turn, the co-author of A War Gone Social, How Companies Must Adapt to Survive. Mark, thanks again for hanging out with us. AwarGoneSocial.com, is that right?
That's right.
All right, so check that out. Also, the book's available wherever books are sold. Mark, you got stories. We're talking about social media, folks, as something that whether you like it or not. And I'm a big skeptic. You know, Mark, I self-anointed myself as the social media heretic 6 or 7 years ago. So I mean, I've got my jaundiced eye looking at it all the time, but we use it like crazy. I think it's healthy to be skeptical of social media while you are taking advantage of it, and that way you make sure that you're protecting yourself in the areas that where it could cause you a problem. Like if you expect it to be the same thing as have the same rules as selling, or if you you believe that Facebook and Twitter are on your side, you know, things like that. But you've got stories of how people have used social media to their advantage. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think the best stories, Jim, are those that are organic. It's not that a company or a brand tried to create a viral video, you know, through their marketing departments,
right,
and they didn't spend a bunch of money on it. The stories that I love the most, and some of them are good and some of them are bad, both show the character of the brands that are involved. For instance, you know, there's a lot of people have probably heard the story about Amy's Bakery, and poor Amy, she was just not a very happy person, and she was getting some bad reviews on Yelp, and so she did what every, you know, person, individual might do on Facebook. She fought back, and she began slowly but surely showing her true character. She was toxic. She was angry. She was maybe a little bit egotistical, certainly arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And it began to show. And her Facebook tirades, her rants,
wow,
against her customers.
Wow.
I mean, she would ridicule you. You put a bad...
That wasn't a good idea 200 years ago.
No. But again, it shows our true character. Now take a look at what happens on the other side. Again, completely organic. A young man is helping his grandmother who's on her deathbed, and he says, "Grandma, what can I do? What can I get for you?" And she goes, "You know what sounds good? That clam chowder from Panera Bread sounds good." and he said, "Okay, I'm on it. I got it." So he runs to Panera Bread and asks for the clam chowder. Well, it's Friday. It's not Friday. The clam chowder is a Friday thing at Panera. So the young man explained to the store manager, you know, his situation with his grandma, and the store manager looked at him and said, "You know what? We got this. we're going to just hang on for a minute, and we're going to fire up some clam chowder for you. So he did, brought it back to Grandma. He goes on Facebook very innocently and says, I just want to tell you this story about this great experience I had at Panera Bread. Well, he didn't even tag Panera Bread. He was just talking to his friends.
Right.
His mother reposted and tagged Panera Bread, and it went on Panera Bread's, you know, primary slot on their Facebook page.
You're giving me chills. That's what a great story. What a wonderful story.
864,000 likes later. Panera Bread's brand went through the roof.
The only problem is that people showed up on Wednesday and said, I want my grandmother has a hangnail. I want some clam chowder.
There's that setting expectations thing again.
No, but that's what a great story. And you know, the other thing that I remind people about is talking about it organically is you know, we all get compliments. If we stay in business long enough, we're doing something right. People compliment us. And they do it to our face, right? While they're in the store or whatever. You know, it's okay to, I think it's okay to say, wow, what a nice thing for you to say. I really appreciate that. We try really hard here, and I'm glad it's showing, it's shining through. Would you mind saying that in one of your communities? There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No. We live, and we say this in a World Gone Social, we live in the testimonial economy now. We live in an era where we no longer believe the message control that comes down from the PR firms and the advertising agency. We just don't believe that stuff anymore. What we do believe is when others, especially those that we respect, say something nice about a brand, a restaurant, a hotel stay, anything. It's quite a different tack. When we say something as a brand about us, that's just marketing or selling.
That's right.
Everybody knows that now.
That's right.
When other people, our customers, our friends, our colleagues, when they say something good about us, that's your brand.
And the thing is, the reason why you need those is because inevitably you're going to have a negative out there. And if you don't have already banked some positives, when that negative lands, which you're going to get in one day, then you're going to be upside down, aren't you? You're going to be overdrawn.
Well, and here's the deal. That's why building community is so important, Jim. Because something is going to go bad, right? We're not perfect. We're going to say something, we're going to do something that doesn't go over well in that moment. But by building community and building up those testimonials, we have karma on our side, and we have people who care on our side.
Give us that website again, Mark, quickly.
AWorldGoneSocial.com.
That's the name of the book, too, and you can find it wherever books are sold. Hey, Mark, good job today. Come back soon.
I will, Jim. Thank you.
Mark Babbitt, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back another day. I'll be back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I want to be with you everywhere. Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame. Thanks for listening. Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397.
833-1397 and be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you're a business owner, who can you trust to stand shoulder to shoulder with to help your company prosper? Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. I have seen firsthand the role trust plays in team performance. And now you can have your own business performance advisor to help your company reach your goals. For more than 25 years, Insperity has helped thousands of America's best businesses succeed by putting high-performance HR and business solutions to work. Your Insperity Business Performance Advisor starts with the specific needs of your company and tailors a customized solution to unleash your business potential. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame, and I wrote this book for you.
You're listening to the man who has received so much recognition for his work on behalf of small business that he had to get a bigger mantle for his awards and a wider door for his head.
You have reached the transmitting signal for the big giant head. All big giant circuits are busy right now. Please stay on the line.
Mr. Humble, Jim Blassingame.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you, especially when we get a chance to bring one of my favorite people on the planet back on the show, Ted Fishman, ladies and gentlemen, one of the smartest guys I've ever met. He's the author of China Inc., the landmark book on that topic that people are still using as a reference book once they've read it and enjoyed it. Also, his follow-up to that, Shock of Gray, it's all about the aging and the demographic shifts going on around the world. And he's here to talk to us about something very interesting that I think many of you right between the eyes, this topic he wants to talk about today. Ted Fishman, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks so much, and thanks for that great introduction.
Well, it's much deserved, Ted. I mean every word of it. So, okay, one of the things that I have devoted part of my work to over the years is talking to small business owners about retirement. And being a small business owner myself, I live this. And the challenge that we have as small business owners is that if we ever do get our hands on some free cash, some cash that we can do something else with that doesn't have to go to payroll, there's always something else the business needs the business has got its hand out for. And it's really tough for a small business owner to begin the process of a parallel retirement plan. What do you think?
I think that's true. There's so many challenges for small business people, one of which is if you come to the idea of starting your business late or purchasing a business later in your career, very often it's the money you had put aside for retirement that goes into that business. So the business itself could be a big bet on your retirement, but as we all know, small business is a risky proposition. The survivability of small businesses is something you have to steel yourself
right.
for. It's not always great. And in addition to that, you know, for a small business, there's nothing better than having extra cash on hand for the business because you need it to get you through periods and uneven periods, too.
Mm-hmm.
There was some recent data on retirement that just threw me for a loop. When I wrote Shock of Gray, came out 3 years ago, when I first started reporting it, which was 5 years ago, the average savings of Americans in retirement was around $25,000.
Wow.
As the average savings. And then
And when you say savings, are you talking about cash in the bank, or does that include IRAs and things like that?
I'm talking about what people self-identify as their retirement savings. So
their retirement savings.
So
it's not just savings, it's retirement savings.
Yes, retirement savings.
All right, go ahead.
As the recession wore on, that number got smaller and smaller, and it reached a low around $15,000. Now it's back up. For middle-class Americans, the median savings are only $20,000, which is a low number. But for older Americans, surprisingly, the savings for retirement is lower than for younger Americans. So Americans in my group, I'm 56, Americans 50 to 59 years old, among them, 41% said they were not contributing to retirement at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of this has to do with the rise of self-employment.
Yeah,
contingent employment.
And the growth of small business over the last 25 years.
And the growth of small business, right. So these numbers, you know, they're the dark side of a very good trend, which is that people are controlling their own destiny, but they're betting it all on this future.
Well, and even companies, even people who are employed by larger companies, their retirement scenario is not as robust and as generous as it was 50 years ago. And, you know,
some of America's largest companies drive people to the edge of poverty so that they can have the government pick up bills on
medical. That's right. And or they converted their pension plans, their defined benefit plans into 401ks. I know, I remember when some of the big companies did that. But many of those 20th century promises were made and they're coming due now in the 21st century, and 21st century reality can't pay that bill. That's another thing that's happening right now. Ted?
Well, I don't know if you followed this. You know, there's some efforts to rework the healthcare benefits of around 10,000 casino workers, I think, or thousands of casino workers. And part of it is to take $5,000 away from their health, so that if you have to pay $5,000 more for your healthcare, you're going to not be paying that.
Be going in the other direction. We're going to talk some more about this, folks, including some of the myths of small business ownership with regard to retirement and some of the advantages that you have. 22, stay with us.
If you run a business, you know your financial results are directly linked to the performance of your people. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every team wants to operate at peak performance, and now you can with the proven workforce optimization solution from Insperity. This powerful combination of HR and business solutions is the most comprehensive business performance offering in the marketplace, delivering administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. And since your business is like no other, this solution is customized to fit your unique company needs. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, Their after-the-sale support is the best in the business, too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's B-P-L-A-N-S.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
It took so long to change my mind. I thought the love was a game.
Welcome back. 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Ted Fishman is our guest, our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of the great members we have. He's the author of China Inc. If you don't have this book, you gotta get it. I promise you it will open your eyes. Shock of Gray will do the same thing, totally different topic. China Inc. is pretty intuitive. Shock of Gray is all about the aging of the population and how, and what that demographic, those demographic shifts are, is what's it going to do to the global economy and to society, to human beings around the world. Ted, thanks again for hanging out with us. I know you. We're talking, folks, about retirement. We're talking about some of the shocking reality of retirement in the 21st century, retirement planning especially, but also actual retirement. Ted, before you get into your stats, I want to throw out a couple of quick, one myth and one stealth, what I call a stealth benefit of being a small business owner. One of the big things that we tell ourselves, Ted, when we don't fund a retirement plan, but we put that money into new inventory or buying new equipment or a new marketing plan or some new strategy to grow the business, we tell ourselves, I'm investing in myself. I'm investing in my business. It's better than Wall Street because I got control of this, and one day this will make my business worth more, and when I sell it, I can turn that into a return. And guess what, Ted? That happens sometimes. More often than not, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
One of the reasons is, by the time you retire, you've been in your business, you've operated that business model for quite a while, and that model is no longer good. Now, here's the thing that saves it sometimes. This is the stealth benefit. If you can own the real estate where your business is and buy it and make payments on it, take a mortgage out on it, and pay yourself rent from the business like you'd pay a landlord, as in the form of payments, maybe even more than that, maybe you could even make some income off of it in 20 years. Now you own the business instead of your landlord. I mean, the real estate instead of your landlord owning the real estate. And Ted, I don't know how many times I've seen where the family's business was worth nothing, but the real estate was worth millions in 30 years. What do you think?
Yeah, that's powerful. I agree with that. And, you know, that's a strategy where small businesses can mimic lots of the strategies of big real estate rich businesses. Sears stock went up almost 30% when they said they were going to use their property for other purposes. You know, it's
other than
a
retail,
company,
right?
That for every other reason ought to be retired.
That's exactly right. So anyway, but now you've got some stats that I wanted you to tell us about.
Yeah, so here's some things that I think parallel the growth of small business, and one is that 72% of Americans think that they should have started earlier, and you know they really can't. You know, you can't blame yourself too much because the structure of your retirement has a lot to do with whether you save. If you give yourself a a plan for retirement and you actually structure your savings, you will do far better. And even people with minimal plans do far better than people with no plan. People who have a minimal approach to retirement, that they're just putting something away, will on average save three times as much as people with the same income who don't have that plan. So it's really, really important to have that plan. And just dovetailing on what you said about property, you know, a lot of people think about their retirement as something that's underpinned or supported by the value of their homes.
Yeah.
And this is true for a lot of people. This is kind of their where they believe their savings is. It's in their home. But if you're a small business person, the temptation to borrow against your home is also quite strong. So you have to think deep and hard about what you're borrowing against in order to support your business, because you might be giving up the one, you know, true treasure in your.
But you know, I've also just stick one thing in there. If you've been if you own your own real estate, you've been paying down on a mortgage, you've been servicing the debt, and you wind up with some equity, not more than one company, Ted, has been able to use that equity when times got tough to leverage at the bank to help them ride through a tough time. And
that's true.
And
so
let me give you a quick example that was huge. Ford Motor Company did that. That's the reason Ford Motor Company didn't have to take any money from the government. They mortgaged the businesses that had been paid for the real estate had been paid for 90 years.
Isn't that a great illustration?
Yeah.
So if you are taking money out on your home, think about what you're putting it into. Is it something ephemeral or is it something more durable like property for your business?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just thought I would go through, what you might get if you manage to save $1 million for retirement, which isn't a huge amount.
Right.
If you've been saving for decades, you know,
right,
you probably should get close to $1 million. When you save for retirement, you're not just living off the income, you're usually drawing it down too. And, you know, the rule of thumb is to take out 5%. And if you have been taking out 5% for the last decade, you would be giving yourself, in addition to Social Security or whatever, around $4,200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But it also depends on really where you have the money. If you balanced your money more in higher risk investments like the stock market, then you would have $1.2 million still in savings with the draw. So I think it's really important for people to think about where they're putting their retirement money. They have to have it in some areas where advisors. Yeah.
That's a big concern.
I just want to finish where advisors think you have to have some of the money in places that will return more than the most safe investments like bonds, which have really returned nothing.
A blended system.
For longer than you might, than you think you might be able to tolerate.
When we come back, Ted used to be on the Chicago mercantile market. He was a trader there for a number of years, and so he knows his stuff. When we come back, I'm going to ask him where he thinks you should be putting your money. Stay with us, 10 till.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity high-performance HR and business solutions, from recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back, 7 till the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Ted Fishman, TedCFishman.com. Is that right, Ted?
That's right.
Ted C. Fishman, the initial C in the middle there, TedCFishman.com. Find out all the things that Ted does. You can find out more about his books, China Inc., and also Shock of Gray. Is there another one in the works, Ted?
There is. We can talk about that when I get closer.
All right.
It relates to the demographic and business topic.
All right.
So
I can't
it's
wait.
Really how the, yeah.
It'll be
so
important.
It'll be exciting to talk about. Yeah.
Ted, I don't know if you have any more stats you want to give us. We're talking about retirement, the challenges of retirement these days in the 21st century, especially for small business. But one of the things I'd like for you to blend in whatever else you have to say is, what should we do with our money? I mean, I'll be honest with you, Ted. I don't trust Wall Street. I do not trust Wall Street. I asked an expert, a Wall Street expert. I mean, this guy is a true believer. And I said, does a retail investor have a chance on investing on Wall Street against the flash traders and that sort of thing? He said, no.
Yeah. It's a really
that was his answer. No
assessment. Yeah. I'm kind of lazy, so I like to park my money and not think about it. You mentioned that I used to be a trader, and I find that when I am an active investor, I overtrade, which chops up my money, and I end up spending a lot of money on commission and making bad choices. So I do like these life cycle funds, where you put your money in and it's invested in a way that would be similar to the way a giant pension fund would invest your money if they had the actuarial data on you.
Right.
And since I thought we might get to this, I looked at some data from Vanguard, which has a lot of these funds and is the biggest seller of these funds. There, you can go to most of the fund families and find similar things.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they're, average savings for men who invest in these funds, which would be the category I'm in, is around $125,000 through Vanguard. And I thought it was very interesting that they called out the statistic for women. Women who invested through Vanguard only had around $78,000. And I thought, wow, that's a huge gap, especially when you consider that women live longer than men and often end up spending a lot of their retirement savings on the health of their husband.
Right.
Who get sick before they do. So it's kind of a killer. So
hopefully the old man's got some insurance that endures.
Often, the insurance, that's true. That's true. I didn't take that into account.
That's part of the deal.
But women do have to just be sure that they're having a little bit more aggressive.
So what was the 125 number? You're saying that's what they
found? The average savings. That's the average savings for men
their
who
customers.
Have life cycle funds.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and the average savings for women was $78,000.
Mm-hmm.
And two reasons for that. One is women do earn less. Among Vanguard earners, which I was really surprised at, women earn around 40% less than the Vanguard investors who are men, which is much higher than the wage gap overall
mm-hmm.
in the country. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And also
so the life cycle, are you
years.
Saying, when you say the life cycle, what is their methodology? Is it to have the three different types of investments, safe security, maybe cash, and then growth funds,
Right, and you move into increasingly less risky categories as you get closer to the date you identified
mm-hmm.
as your possible retirement.
Mm-hmm. What if you're at retirement? You've got a nest egg, and you want to do something with it. What do you do with that?
It depends on your nest egg, really.
Yeah.
You can annuitize it. Annuities tend to be terrible in terms of their
yeah.
cost structure, so you
yeah.
have to be careful where you shop. You have to shop for low-cost annuities. It's
mm-hmm.
very, very important. And you have to decide, the kind of annuity.
Yeah, you got to be careful because some annuities are like Social Security. When you die, it's gone.
Yeah, that's right. They'll be the ones that pay you more, but your heirs will
yeah,
get nothing.
That's right.
It's
if
more
you,
like buying
if
a
If you die the next day,
c'est
la vie. It's gone.
Yeah,
yeah.
But, you know, human beings are adding, in America, are adding around 2.5 years to the lifespan every decade, so
yep.
it's something to keep in mind,
yeah.
too.
Hey, Ted, good job today. Come back soon.
Oh, thank you.
We always love hearing what you have to say. We always get smarter when you join us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, and I know you have some segments I'll be interested coming up.
Yeah, that's coming up in the next hour. Thanks, Ted. Ted
yep.
Fishman, ladies and gentlemen, I told you we'd get smarter when Ted joined us, didn't I? He'll be back another day. TedCFishman.com. Don't forget to check out his website. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show with your host, Jim Blassingame. The Small Business Advocate Show is presented by Insperity, dedicated to helping businesses run better, grow faster, and make more money. And now, the man who teaches big business how to help small business and small business how to compete with the big guys.
Keep the tires and light the fires, big guy.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blassingame.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Very excited about our show coming at you straight ahead. We got a couple of really smart people. Got a new friend and an old friend. Long time. A new friend and a long time friend. I have to say it that way because the long time friend is a lady. And she certainly is a lady. She's one of our favorite folks around here. Tamar Jacoby is going to join us in the second half of the hour. I'm going to tell you about her in a second. But first, Brian Daugherty is going to join us, and he's the new friend. Brian is a Social Security strategist. Let me start that over. He's a Social Security strategist and expert. He's actually written a book on what you should do with your Social Security strategy. You can't say that three times real fast without messing up. All right, so he says you should wait to draw Social Security. You know, you can start at 62. You can anytime after 62 you can start drawing. The typical retirement age for people who would retire this year is 66. If you took a regular retirement. But he's proposing that you wait until you're 70 if you can. And so we're going to talk about that. And even if you're not there, you should pay attention because if you're just over 50 especially, or if you've got a parent who's at this age, this gets everybody, then you want to pay attention to what he has to say. And I also want to give fair warning that he and I may not agree on everything. I think I may have a pushback on a couple of points he makes, but that's just me. And you know me very well, don't you? And then we got Tamar Jacoby. He's going to be here. And we're going to talk about the immigration reform that is literally probably going to, not reform, immigration changes that are probably going to happen after this election next week. And the president is up to something. We're going to get her to tell us about that. It's 9 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you're a business owner, who can you trust to stand shoulder to shoulder with to help your company prosper? Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. I have seen firsthand the role trust plays in team performance. And now you can have your own business performance advisor to help your company reach your goals. For more than 25 years, Insperity has helped thousands of America's best businesses succeed by putting high-performance HR and business solutions to work. Your Insperity Business Performance Advisor starts with the specific needs of your company and tailors a customized solution to unleash your business potential. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blassingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Brian Daugherty's here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Brian's a new friend. He's a social security strategist and expert. He's the author of the upcoming book, Getting Paid to Wait, Bigger Social Security Benefits, The Simple and Easy Way. And he's our new friend, Brian Daugherty. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
Good to have you here. Congratulations on the book. When's it coming out?
It'll be out either next month or early in December.
Be sure we get our copy, our autograph.
Oh, you will.
So, okay. Social Security is something that that was begun in, what, the 30s, late 30s, right? Something like that?
It was the 30s, and they started to pay out their first monthly checks in 1940.
Yeah, all right. And what was the original idea for Social Security?
Yeah, the original idea was to just be a supplement for an individual's in their retirement. They thought they'd have other forms of sources of income in retirement, and Social Security would just supplement that. And what's happened is the large majority of people in this country are either totally or critically dependent upon Social Security to provide them with any income to maintain any quality of life in retirement.
Well, back in those days, in 1940, there were a lot of people who just come out of everyone had just come out of the Great Depression.
Yes.
Many people lost everything during that time. And Social Security literally was their lifeline. Well, I mean, it was the only, for many people, it was almost the only money they had to their name in those days, right?
It was. And, you know, in those days, we actually had a lot of people over the age of 65 that lived in poverty. And, you know, they started, the earliest statistics I have where they tracked that, Jim, was going back to 1959. If you go back to 1959, 35% of all people over the age of 65 live below the poverty line in this country. That's an incredible number, 35% in this country, United States of America, in 1959. And now that figure has dropped to 9%.
Wow.
From 1959 until today. That's one of the lowest figures in the history of this country for that age demographic. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that, basically one reason and one reason only, Social Security.
Right. But have we started going back to our origins of this thing? I mean, are we getting closer to where people are depending in 1940 people depended very much on their Social Security for retirement? Are we getting to the point where we're back to that now?
Oh, I think we've been at that point for a while.
How long? About how long? 10 years, 15 years?
I think since I don't want to say 1940, because the people that got checks in 1940, they weren't very big because they hadn't really contributed to the system that long. And it really took, you know, Social Security looks at your highest 35 wage earning years, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it took a while for that to build up in the system. Mm-hmm. But since the day it came about, a lot of people were totally dependent upon Social Security. I don't think that's ever really changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you think because there's a lot of people today who really have to have Social Security, millions, tens of millions of people, formerly, you know, able-bodied working people who just became retired for whatever reason, they need Social Security to literally to live today.
Absolutely. If you look at the statistics, there's 50 to 60 million people that collect Social Security today. Now, some of them are their disability checks, but the people that have retired and are getting their regular benefit, about one-third of them, Jim, one-third of them, we're talking over 10 million people, that's all they have. Social Security is responsible for over 90% of their income. Another one-third on top of that, it's over 50% of their income. A lot of them, a great deal over 50% of their income. So basically, you have two-thirds of the people in this country, tens of millions of people, that are either totally dependent or critically dependent upon Social Security to provide them with any income to maintain any quality of life in their retirement. So it's huge.
And it puts extra pressure because of that. And when you talk about these people, we can't assume that these people are 65 when this happens to them. Sometimes it happens to them at 59 or 60 or 61. And so the moment they can get to 62, which is the earliest drawing period, they have to start drawing, don't they?
So you're right. I mean, especially, you know, if you go back to the recession in 2008, maybe 2009, a lot of people got laid off, some of them in their late 50s or early 60s, and they couldn't find a job, so they desperately needed income, so they chose to take it at age 62, which is the earliest you can get it, and you lock into the smallest check you can receive from Social Security for the rest of your life.
So sadly, they made a long-term decision based on short-term challenges.
Yes, I guess you could put it that way.
But it didn't feel like it to them because it was food in the mouth, wasn't it?
Yeah, they needed income. Some of them desperately needed income, so they chose to take it at 62.
So let's talk about, though, for a minute, let's talk about the premise of your book, which is that you think if you can, whenever you possibly can, make sure I'm saying this right, Brian, when it's at all possible, we should wait to draw. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I had a long career in the financial services industry, Jim. In the last 5 or 6 years, I was specifically focused on retirement income and retirement income planning. And it was then that I learned of the challenges that people face once they retire. And they're different challenges, as you know, from when you're saving for retirement. And I got to be honest with you, up until that point, I didn't know anything about Social Security. Didn't think it was going to be important at all. And I ended up reading a lot of research, and there's a ton of it out there on retirement income planning. And in a lot of that research by, you know, college professors with PhDs that crunched the numbers, they'd have something about Social Security. And for the first year or two, that was the part I skipped that part. I didn't think it was that important, right? And I didn't know anything about it. But then it kept popping up, so I started to read about it, and I was blown away by just how robust the program is, all the features it had, and the things that it allowed people to do. And I also at that time realized that nobody really knew about these things because nobody was doing them.
Most of us know when we can draw and why we can draw and that sort of thing. We don't know about the bells and whistles.
Don't know about the bells and whistles, and I think the majority of people make uninformed decisions, and that's why so many people claim early without even thinking about or knowing about these other things.
Just because I can get a check. They see that $1,000, $1,200 check or whatever. Wow, that's a lot of money. I can start getting that right now. And if they could have waited 4 years, that check would double.
And well, that check would be 33% bigger. If they waited until their full retirement age.
All right.
And 76% bigger if they waited until age 70.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. 20 after, right back with Brian Daugherty.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.